ladies and gentlemen, fellow shareholders, proxy holders, and guests. My name is Stephen Griggs, and I'm the Chair of the Board of Genesis Land Development Corp., and welcome to the 2015 Annual and Special Meeting of the Shareholders of the Company. As you can tell, I will act as the chair of this meeting. I would like to, at this time, call the meeting to order. Before we begin the formal business of the meeting, I would like to introduce the other members of the Board of Directors of the Company who are present here today, and everyone is here. And I would like to ask each of them to stand momentarily as I call their names. First is Bill Pringle, who's also the Vice Chair, standing. Michael Brodsky, Yazdi Barusha, Stephen Glover, Mark Mitchell, Loudon Owen, and Ian Stewart. I would also like to introduce members of the management team who are here today. Bruce Rudichuk, our President and CEO. Mark Scott, the Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. Arnie Stefaniuk, General Manager, Land Development. Ralph Muhammad, Corporate Controller. Kristen Wilkinson, General Manager, Sales and Marketing. And last but not least, P.S. Sadhu, General Manager, Home Building. Before we begin, I would like to ask you to turn off your phones or silence them so that we do not disturb the meeting, especially you, Bruce. The first item of business is the appointment of the secretary and scrutineers. I would like to ask Jamila Premje to act as the secretary of the meeting, and I appoint Elisa Rojo and Daisy Molina, both of Computershare Trust Company of Canada, to act as the scrutineers of the meeting. A quorum for the transaction of business at any meeting of shareholders of the corporation is at least two persons, present in person or by proxy, each of whom is entitled to vote at the meeting, and who hold or represent by proxy in the aggregate of not less than 5% of the outstanding shares of the corporation entitled to vote at the meeting. I have been advised by the scrutineers that a quorum is present at today's meeting. And in fact, we have just shy of 80% of all shares represented in proxy or by person. The scrutineers' report is available for inspection by any shareholder, and I would ask that the secretary file a copy of that report with the minutes of this meeting. I have a declaration of mailing from Computershare that all registered holders of the corporation's common shares were sent notice of today's meeting and the management proxy circular. I direct that a copy of such proof of delivery, together with copies of the documents mailed to shareholders, be kept by the secretary with the minutes of this meeting. With all of that said, I declare that this meeting has been regularly called and properly constituted for the transaction of business. In order to facilitate the timely completion of the formal business of the meeting, arrangements have been made with certain shareholders to move and second the resolutions to be considered at the meeting. At the end of the formal business of the meeting, we will have a presentation by Bruce Rudichuk, our CEO, followed by a Q&A session. Registered holders and valid proxy holders of common shares may vote on the resolutions at today's meeting. The resolutions will be open for discussion before a vote is taken. Shareholders and proxy holders should not address the meeting until recognized by me as chair. Unless otherwise requested, each of the matters of the business to be covered today will be voted on by way of ballot, other than the appointment of auditors, which will be voted on by a show of hands. Before proceeding with the business that requires a vote today, I want to inform the meeting that in the interest of increasing shareholder participation at this meeting, the cutoff of proxies for this meeting is extended to 3 p.m. on May the 12th at my discretion. Revocations were, of course, accepted right up to the start of the meeting. In order to deal with the matters of business in an efficient manner, the scrutineers have distributed and collected ballots at the registration table. To facilitate matters, if you are a registered shareholder or a proxy holder and you have not received a ballot, or you have not provided the scrutineers with your ballot, can you please raise your hands? As the first item of business, the corporation's audited financial statements for the year ended December 31, 2014, and the report of the auditors thereon are placed before the meeting. The audited financial statements and the report of the auditors thereon have been mailed to all shareholders. A copy of the financial statements and accompanying auditor's report are also available to shareholders at the registration desk and electronically on SEDAR. Are there any questions regarding the financial statements? The next item of business is the appointment of auditors of the corporation for the ensuing year at a remuneration to be fixed by the Board of Directors. MNP LLP is the corporation's current auditor and has agreed to act as the auditors of the corporation if reappointed. May I have a motion regarding the appointment of the auditors?
I move that MNP LLP be appointed as auditors of the corporation to hold office until the next annual meeting of shareholders at such remuneration as may be fixed by the Board of Directors.
Thank you, Steve. Will someone second the motion?
The motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Seeing no questions or discussion, all those in favor, please signify by raising your hand. Bruce, put your hand up. Contrary? The motion is carried. I declare that MNP LLP is appointed auditors of the corporation for the ensuing year at a remuneration to be fixed by the Board of Directors. The next item of business is the election of directors. Eight directors are to be elected at this meeting. We will be nominating and approving individual directors and not a slate of directors. I will now receive nominations for the election of directors of the corporation.
I nominate those persons specified in the information circular, namely Michael Brodsky, Yasmin Maruka, Stephen Glover, Stephen Frigg, Mark W. Mitchell, Robin Owen, William Kimball, and Ian Stewart, to be elected by ordinary resolution as directors of the corporation.
Thank you. Under the bylaws of the corporation, advance notice is required for additional nominations to the board. There were no other nominations of directors received in advance of the meeting. I therefore declare the nominations closed. I will now ask for someone to move the resolution electing the nominees as directors of the corporation to serve as directors until the close of the next annual meeting of shareholders or until their successors are duly elected or appointed.
I move that each of the eight persons nominated to be elected as director of the corporation to hold office until the close of the next annual meeting of shareholders or until his successor is
Will someone second the motion?
I second the motion.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? As previously stated, the directors will be elected individually and not as a slate. If you are a registered shareholder or a proxy holder and you have not received a ballot or you have not provided the scrutineers with your ballot, can you please raise your hand? Voting on the election of directors has been conducted by way of ballot and the scrutineers are tabulating the final results. And here they are. Thank you. Based on the preliminary voting results for this matter, it is expected that this resolution will be carried, and each individual director received significantly in excess of 50% of the votes cast. I now have these final results, so therefore I am advised that this motion is carried, and each of the nominees for election as director has been elected with a majority of the votes cast in favor of each individual nominee. The next item of business is the confirmation of the adoption of bylaw number 3 of the corporation as further described in the information circular. I ask that someone move this resolution set forth on page 17 of the information circular to confirm and approve without amendment bylaw number 3 of the corporation.
I move that the resolution set forth on page 17 of the information circular confirming the adoption of bylaw number 3 be approved.
Is there a
seconder? I second the motion.
Thank you. As previously stated, voting on the confirmation of bylaw number 3 will be conducted by way of ballot. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we will now move to a vote. If you are a registered shareholder or a proxy holder for an absent shareholder, you would have been provided with a ballot when you checked in. Please complete your ballot as indicated and return them to the scrutineers. If you are a registered shareholder or a proxy holder and you have not received a ballot or you have not provided the scrutineers with your ballot, can you please raise your hand? Seeing none. With respect to the resolution regarding the confirmation of bylaw number 3 of the corporation, I think the scrutineers have the results here. Thank you. And the report indicates that 82.28% of the shares were voted in favor of the resolution and 17.72% of the shares were voted against the resolution. I therefore declare this ordinary resolution with respect to the confirmation of bylaw number 3 carried. That concludes the formal business brought before the meeting as set out in the notice of the meeting. I would like to thank you all for attending the formal part of our notice, and I now declare this meeting to be closed. Before I ask Bruce to come up, on behalf of the board and shareholders, we would like to thank management and all employees who worked very hard over the last year as a team to produce the best year ever for the company in 2014 and for Genesis. The staff are doing an excellent job of managing through the difficult and uncertain times in the economy, which do seem to be improving as best we can tell. I would especially like to thank our CEO, Bruce Rudichuk, for his strong leadership of the company and for building the foundations for the future of our business. So with that, Bruce, over to you.
Thank you. Am I on? Great. Good morning and welcome. First, I just want to say how pleased I am to be here today to report on the truly outstanding year, as Stephen said, we had in 2014. Genesis remains a company that has tremendous unrealized potential and value. I also want to say how satisfying it is to be part of such a talented and dedicated team of people who have worked really, really hard to turn our vision into a reality. Today I want to talk briefly about our accomplishments in 2014, provide an update on the current economic environment, and a review of our potential. As always, before I get into a presentation, I'm obligated to point out through this lengthy disclaimer that there are risks involved with forward-looking information and statements. So you can read that very quickly. First, a brief overview. We're an integrated land developer and home builder focused on the Calgary metropolitan area, the CMA. Through integration, we benefit from the additional profits created through the successful combined operation of our two businesses. The CMA has been one of North America's leading real estate markets over the past few years, and notwithstanding recent events in Alberta, we remain confident that the long-term potential of the CMA market is still intact and very positive. We own and control a large portfolio of entitled residential and mixed-use lands, which places us in a unique and enviable position in the industry. Our balance sheet has undergone a substantial transformation over the last 2 years, greatly reducing our debt and increasing cash on hand. And we have an extremely talented team of people dedicated to delivering our strategic plan. And if 2014 was a test year, our team has proven they deliver great results. Is a turnaround year in both growth and profitability, and perhaps our most successful year ever. We're extremely pleased with the milestones we achieved. We built a profitable home building business, achieving record growth in home sales from 164 last year to 220 homes. And that's far outpacing market growth, and we improved margins and profitability. The improvement was due in part to the strong real estate market, but also a direct result of our focus on integration, operational improvements, and our product position in the market. Our financial position was strengthened. We had more cash on hand at the end of 2014 than amounts drawn on loans and credit facilities. Debt to total assets dropped to under 8% from over 16% at the end of 2013. And as a result, we have significant unutilized debt capacity to grow our business or provide liquidity if the economy deteriorates. We acquired 350 acres of Calgary's finest midterm land in the southeast of Calgary, our first purchase in over 7 years. And we completed the sale of the majority of our non-core lands by value, paid our first ever dividend, a special dividend of 12 cents per share, and rolled out our investor relations plans with the view to improving communication with our shareholders. And finally, we were one of the top performing Canadian public real estate companies in 2014. I want to talk briefly about our existing CMA lands, and later I'll discuss our acquisition. We hold a valuable bank of land in our three primary communities, which continue to fuel growth in our land development and home building business. In Airdrie, highlighted in dark blue, development will occur in the communities of Canals, Bayside, and Bayview over the next 9 years or so. In the Northeast, Saddlestone, again highlighted in blue, is a suburban residential community that is approximately half developed, with completion expected in the next 5 years. In the Northwest, Sage Meadows is a suburban community with a significant multifamily component and many years of future supply. Our mixed-use development lands represent some of what we believe are the best medium to long-term CMA opportunities. Sage Hill Crossing is a regional project comprising two major sites. We have engaged RBC to market 25 acres for sale or joint venture, while the 50 acres on the north part of the project are being reconceptualized before being brought to market. North Comeridge, a commercial project totaling approximately 610 acres and located in Rocky View County at the terminus of Airport Trail and Stony Trail, is progressing through the development approvals process. In addition, Genesis has the right to acquire the Fowler lands from a limited partnership. These lands provide a significant potential, and we expect development to commence in 5 to 7 years when our existing Airdrie communities are substantially developed. These assets provide us with over $300 million or $6.84 per share in value to the company. Adding other assets, including cash, home building, our work in process, net debt, we arrive at our total estimated pre-tax NAV of $8.69 a share as of December 31, 2014. Unfortunately, there's still a significant gap between our estimated NAV and our share price of $3.23 as of this past Friday. This represents an outstanding opportunity to reveal additional shareholder value over and above what we create in our operating businesses day to day. We strongly believe that the continued implementation of our strategic plan in 2015 and beyond will have a positive impact on reducing this gap. Let's talk about the market. One of the concerns we hear from investors is about the health of the real estate market, considering the recent fall in oil prices. We're not industry economists, but I thought it'd be useful to provide you with some context of how we see the market, and you can draw your own conclusion on where it's headed. In order to understand our market, we need to consider the overall drivers. On a macro level, it's impacted by the general economy, population growth, and the cyclical nature of one of our major industries, energy. On a micro level, the market is impacted by lot supply, rental vacancy rates, the resale home market, and new home starts and prices. Once we consider these factors, we can look at how they impact Genesis. Alberta's economy has been strong over the past few years, driven by low tax rates, low unemployment, low and stable interest rates and inflation rates, population growth, and above-average earnings. During the second half of 2014 and into this year, we saw a softening, primarily due to the significant drop in energy prices. Despite this, there is still positive economic momentum, which is good for our industry. The graph on the left shows Alberta annual GDP from 2000 to 2014. It breaks out GDP into several sectors. The orange bars represent the energy sector, green is real estate, and blue is all other sectors. As you can see, GDP has grown year after year, with the single exception of 2009 in the global energy, global economic crisis. Note the increase in GDP has been largely a function of growth in sectors other than energy. The energy industry's share of GDP has contracted from 58% in 1988 to 35% today. Thus, a decline in energy pricing might be expected to have a smaller impact today than historically. Looking forward, the government expects Alberta's GDP growth to slow in 2015, but remain positive. The graph on the right shows net migration and population growth for the CMA, again from 2000 to 2014. The bars indicate sources of in-migration, with the red line showing overall population growth. It illustrates that both net migration and population growth have been positive throughout the entire period. The Alberta government again forecasts modest population growth this year and next before picking up over the medium term. These are very positive for our industry. The key point here is that cyclical disruptions have not stopped long-term economic or population growth, just temporarily slowed them down. Let's talk about oil price. Oil is still a big part of the Alberta economy, but will housing prices crash with oil prices? Let's look at some history. As noted in the graph, World Bank has identified five previous episodes where oil prices experienced a 30% decline. These major declines coincided with other global events. In three of the last five major oil price declines, new house prices in the CMA didn't even decline, let alone crash. The biggest new house decline occurred in 2008-2009, again during the global economic meltdown, when credit was largely cut off in the U.S. It was in terrible financial shape, and Calgary was already on a downward spiral following bubble-like conditions in 2007. Today, financial conditions are much more stable. Over the most recent period of lower oil prices, we have not yet seen a substantial decrease in new home prices. When analyzing the market, we also consider lot supply, vacancy rates, rental vacancy rates, and resale home prices. Lot supplies in Calgary are at an all-time low, according to a major industry survey, with the City of Calgary's approval policy providing a bottleneck to new supply. This provides strong support to pricing and resistance to any corrections. People generally rent before they buy. As vacancy rates decrease, there is upward pressure on rents, making purchasing relatively more affordable. CMHC forecasts vacancy rates to increase slightly from approximately 1.4% today to 1.8% in 2016. But even with that forecast increase, these low vacancy rates indicate that households will continue to have problems finding affordable rentals, which may lead to higher sales prices and activity. Looking at the graph, we see that resale home prices have increased every year except for three, once in 91 and again during the global financial crisis. And in that crisis, buyers held off purchasing and prices dropped as sellers had to liquidate for other non-real estate related reasons. In its national market assessment, CMHC believes Calgary is currently at a very low risk of a housing correction. We're not yet seeing a major correction in pricing, and if 2015 resale figures to date are any indication, declines in housing prices might only be modest. We believe the most likely impact of a slower economy will be a reduction in liquidity and volume of sales until buyers regain confidence in the market. Let's turn to new starts and pricing. This graph breaks out actual and forecast starts between singles in dark blue, semi-detached in light blue, row housing in green, and apartment in orange from 1990 to 2016. According to government statistics, Alberta's housing market remained tight through most of 2014, even though single home starts have only gradually increased over the last few years. Strong demand and record low inventory spurred double-digit gains in overall housing starts and put upward pressure on pricing, particularly in the CMA. CMHC and Stats Canada does expect declines in overall starts in 2015 and 2016, but not to 2009 levels. In 2009, there was an oversupply of housing, but starts have since lagged household formation, and this market has come back into balance. People seem divided on the direction house prices will take in 2015. CMHC again expects new house prices in the CMA to increase just over 4%, while others say there's a worst-case scenario where prices could decline in the neighborhood of 10 to 12%. That said, the new house price index in Alberta increased by just over 2% year-to-year at February, while Calgary prices grew just over 4%. The overall takeaway, even when we've seen disruptions in the Alberta and CMA real estate market, the economy and the real estate market has not stopped, just slowed down. So what's the impact to Genesis? As oil prices fell, consumers delayed their major purchase decisions. Show home traffic slowed, new home deals were impacted as buyers waited for positive signals before entering the market. Thus, the beginning of 2015 was extremely slow. We note that the first quarter is our seasonally slow quarter preceding the spring buying season, but this year has been particularly impacted. The decline in crude oil price may have halted and is showing signs of stabilizing since the beginning of the year. This appears to have bolstered consumer confidence, and we're now seeing a marked increase in traffic and a return to near-normal market sales and pricing. In conclusion, the economy is still more uncertain than normal. We expect it to be a more competitive and challenging market this year. We will make sales, but we're going to have to work a little harder for each one. Let's talk about strategy, adjustments to it, and how we see our future unfolding. We implemented our strategic plan in early 2014. Our strategies remain unchanged for this year, but I want to discuss some of the major elements. The primary driver of our plan is growing our home building and land development businesses to position the platform for growth, amongst other supporting initiatives. This is already well underway. Our midterm goal is an annual volume, home building volume, of approximately 300 single-family homes, generating gross home building revenue of over $100 million annually. As a component of this strategy, we're focused on entering the growing multifamily market segment in order to further expand volumes and profitability. Genesis has a major multifamily land holding, and the development of our plan to enter this market segment represents a significant upside for the company. This is a medium-term objective that requires some work to be undertaken over the next year or so before product is brought to market. Our financing strategies are focused on ensuring optimal allocation and use of our capital and achieving a prudent capital structure for improved long-term returns to shareholders. We've realized strong results over the past 2 years, reducing debt and increasing cash flow and cash availability. Looking to this year, we believe we have the capacity to manage some increased leverage on a cost-effective basis and use those funds to finance our operations and growth. The continued execution of our strategic plan and objectives has the potential to add a considerable amount of value to our company. However, we recognize the need to continually reevaluate, prepare for, and adapt to change. As such, the board and management have been working on refining our plan and building on its core strategies as we continue its execution. The result is a number of strategic principles that will define the company and clarify how we operate over the next several years. And these are: Genesis is a sustainable and growing long-term business. We manage our land holdings to deliver growing unit volumes, cash flow, earnings, and returns to shareholders well into the future. Genesis focuses its investments in residential lands in clearly aligned ownership structures. Genesis operates and structures itself to withstand and profit from the volatility of the CMA market. Genesis balances the allocation of capital between growing the business, and Genesis will continue to consult, Genesis balances the allocation of capital between distributions to shareholders and sustaining and growing the business. And finally, Genesis will continue to consult with shareholders regarding options to optimize liquidity in the long term. These principles are intended to provide more clarity on our objectives and allow us to better direct our efforts to areas of most benefit. The big question we get all the time is related to our strategies and principles and with regard to what will we do with our excess cash. The board and management have established a plan that balances three requirements. First, to have sufficient liquidity to adequately protect our business against economic and political volatility. Second, to grow our business strategically and opportunistically. Third, return capital to shareholders through a program of regular and special distributions. We expect that over the longer term, 50% of our after-tax cash flow will be allocated to distributions, with the other 50% being retained to sustain and grow the business. Distributions will include dividends. We expect to act on this plan and make a more formal announcement later in 2015, once the depth and breadth of the current market uncertainty becomes clearer. Let's switch gears and talk about our acquisition. In January, we closed a major land acquisition of 350 acres in the south end of Calgary. Here's an aerial shot from the very south end of the city on the south side of the boat. This spectacular piece of land overlooks the river, provides views of the Rockies, and has close proximity to the new Calgary South Health Campus. With approximately 2,100 homes planned, this $1 billion community provides support to our future growth in one of the most sought-after areas in Calgary. With the recent softening of the real estate market, we're also asked, was this the right time to buy land? We say yes. First, these unique opportunities, often held for generations within a family, do not come to the market regularly, and not all land is interchangeable. This piece was very special. And in Calgary, raw land represents a very low percentage of the total cost of a home, and this acquisition was at an attractive price compared to the overall value of the project, notwithstanding where the market may be at today. The Southeast lands represent an excellent opportunity to grow our business and further build the Genesis brand in a fantastic location in Calgary. While we have a much stronger company today than several years ago, we need to continue to strive to improve and maximize its value. We believe that 2015 is going to be a year of possibility, and we approach it with a number of factors working in our favor. As discussed, we expect some challenges due to a more competitive market. We have to work hard for every deal, and despite a slow start to the year, we still expect to achieve our target of 200 home sales for 2015. We'll benefit from our focus on the more affordable segment of the market, which we believe will remain more resilient. And our book of firm home orders is strong, and as of the beginning of 2015, over two-thirds of this year's target were firm sales that we expect to close this year. We'll maintain a strong balance sheet, while we expect cash to decrease and debt to increase modestly as we execute our development programs. We plan to maintain a conservative debt-to-equity ratio throughout the balance of the year. And we'll advance our plans to maximize value of our businesses by continuing to push development applications, look for a sale or joint venture opportunity on land such as Sage Hill Crossing Town Center, and plan for our expansion into the four-story multifamily market. And lastly, we'll maintain flexibility to adjust to a variety of changes in the economic environment. That's interesting. Sorry. I want to reemphasize the opportunity we see. Genesis is a well-managed company. We have solid financials, a wealth of developable assets, and operate in a market with good long-term fundamentals. We have experienced a knowledgeable team focused on realizing value and achieving the goals we set for ourselves. Our core businesses are running more efficiently, while we continuously make improvements. We own a large portfolio of entitled residential and mixed-use lands, which are exceptionally well-positioned and capable of supporting our businesses for years to come. Our financial strength allows us to respond to market fluctuations and build a foundation for future success. And we will utilize this foundation to continue to enrich lives, those of our customers, our employees, and our shareholders. And in conclusion, we've shown that we deliver on our promises and intend to continue to do so this year, a year of possibility. And I look forward to delivering on this opportunity throughout the year. In closing, I want to recognize the efforts of the board and all of our employees. I want to thank them and our stakeholders for their support, and I look forward to reporting on our progress over the next year. Thanks for your time, and I'm pleased to answer any questions. None? Anyone? Anyone? We're all done. Thank you very much for attending today.